Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying biblical marks, becoming a healthy church, based on nine marks of a healthy church by Mark Dever. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 13, biblical church discipline. Are we to be Christians on our own? Or do we have some obligation to each other? Do our obligations teach each other to involve merely encouraging of each other positively? Or do they also include a responsibility to speak honestly to each other's faults, shortcomings, departures from Scripture, or specific sin? Could our responsibilities before God include sometimes making such matters public? A vital aspect of a healthy church is church discipline. Is all discipline negative? Some discipline is punishment, basically a spanking. Yet much of discipline is formative in developing character. Corrections are adjustments to maintain proper course. What is church discipline? Didn't Jesus say, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? Well, whatever he meant there in Matthew 7 and verse 1, he did not rule out what he clearly commanded later in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, tell him, or let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. God has given the state, the government, the state, the responsibility to judge. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, make that clear. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what's good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So God has given the state the responsibility to judge. But God has also called us to judge ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, in the context of the Lord's Supper. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And God has established judgment within the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? And then after that, Paul tells them to discipline a member. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, our text, verses 1 through 13. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, and yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So what does the Bible say about church discipline? Well, first, God himself disciplines some. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 down to verse 11. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have not forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you're illegitimate, not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline is fundamentally a positive thing. Second, God commands us to do the same for each other. The two passages we already read, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, are the most often cited in the discussion of church discipline. How do you respond when someone sins against you? Tell them off and refuse to talk to them again? Do you just build up resentment in your heart? Well, Matthew 18 instructs otherwise. What about a church member who is openly engaged in a sinful lifestyle? Well, 1 Corinthians 5 is concerned with the deception of such a person who professes Jesus Christ. And then third, God provides specific guidelines for church discipline. How is it to be done? Well, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Why is it to be done? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 down to verse 15, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." And then what is to be done? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, "Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder, except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear." Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, "But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned." All these passages together demonstrate that God cares about both our understanding of his truth and our living it out. And he cares especially about how we live together as Christians. Why practice church discipline? Well, five reasons. We do not discipline because we want to get back at someone. We discipline in humility and in love and for the person disciplined. First, for the good of the person disciplined. The man in Corinth probably thought God approved. The Galatians trusted in their own works. Alexander and Hymenaeus assumed it was okay to blaspheme God. We don't want that kind of life individually or in the church as a body. Second, for the good of the other Christians as they see the danger of sin. The apostle told Timothy that if a leader committed a serious sin, he should be rebuked publicly so that others may be warned by seeing the seriousness of sin. For the good of the whole church, Paul rebuked the believers at Corinth that they shouldn't boast of tolerating sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." For the corporate witness of the church, church discipline is a powerful tool in evangelism. People notice when our lives are marked by a genuine love of God and one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another and for the glory of God. We are to reflect his holiness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Biblical church discipline is a mark of a healthy church. What if we don't practice church discipline? Someone wrote, when discipline leaves the church, Christ goes with it. If we can't say what something is not, we can't say what it is. You have a great day.